We apologize for the inconvenience, but due to technical difficulties with this morning's broadcast, we're only able to bring you our interview with Matt Smith talking about the OSV Challenge and our Sunday Gospel Reflection with Father Andrew Jones. Again, sorry for the inconvenience, and thank you for listening to Archangel Radio.
LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Ripster's pushing the buttons over there, doing its thing.
Let Mike go get coffee.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's got it under control.
Yeah.
We have with us on the line Matt Smith. He's the Director of Strategic Alliances at our Sunday Visitor Institute for Catholic Innovation, which, Matt, that sounds incredible. That's a title that I would definitely want on a business card.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of space, though. Thanks for having me this morning, mm-hmm. Todd and Ellen.
It's fantastic. So the our Sunday Visitor Challenge, the OSV Challenge, exactly what is that?
Well, the OSV Challenge, we started this last year in 2020 with the idea of really sparking innovators in the Catholic community. We had about 300 applications last year. For three $100,000 prizes. And it's innovation in methods of evangelization, in methods of ministry, not innovation in liturgy or not innovation in dogma, any of those kind of things. Sometimes when people hear innovation, they get a little nervous. But it really is answering the call of St. John Paul II, in terms of new evangelization. And really what we wanted to do was, or what we've been trying to do, is really spark that creative energy that's always been part of our church, from hospitals to schools to all kinds of innovation in business and science. And so we really want to, our theme has really been the Catholic Church going on the offensive, telling people how the beauty and truth of our church and reaching those that maybe have disaffiliated, maybe those that are unchurched in total, but bringing that excitement, bringing that innovation to the church and to the people.
$300,000 grants.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, that's life-changing, man.
Yes. I mean, as I said, last year we had three winners. This year, one of the things that we did in 2021, trying to improve, was for our 24 semifinalists, we gave them each $10,000 grants to accelerate their ideas, and then from those 24, we went to 12, and then to three winners that also received the $100,000 prizes.
Wow. All right, so talk to us about the people that were applying.
Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. We've only done this for 2 years, and in our first year, we received, as I said, 350 applications. This year, we received 600, and we're excited about what we might be able to receive in 2022. But, we've received, and we discussed this internally, we cast our net wide, and we received applications from all across what I would call a spectrum of the church, and this includes technology, this includes education, this includes ministry, this includes some diocesan offices, this includes, ministry to the poor. This year, what we found is we had a lot of ministries that were dealing with what I would call ministry and services to those on the periphery, those that maybe have been marginalized. In our first year, we had a lot of applications around technology. And so it's interesting. We've actually been just coming off 2.5 days of strategic planning. And what we thought is, with our third year, we are going to do some longitudinal studies, start to do that. What are we hearing from the people from the pews and in the church? What may be some of the areas where they perceive innovation is needed in the church?
Mm-hmm. And I like how the people are coming from all areas of the Catholic life, working in action in society and using innovative technologies and things like that. So it's kind of bringing the fullness of our world and then just using it to better our faith and our faith in action in the community. So what were some of them that stuck out to you?
Well, of course, and we can talk about our three winners, but, really all the 24 semifinalists were outstanding. It became very difficult. And, just to tell your listeners a little bit about the process, because we will do another challenge in 2022. There's an initial round, initial application. Then we narrow that down to, the second round, and then a semifinal round, and then the finalists. And so you know, what we saw in the semifinalists, some that stuck out, and again, all 24 were outstanding. You can see those semifinalists and all 12 finalists at osvchallenge.com. But we had a ministry called Tabella, which is a social networking sort of app for parishes across the country. It's very outstanding. And while they did not win, they were an outstanding and very strong applicant. We had Springs in the Desert, which is a service for those that are couples and families that are dealing with infertility. And so, you know, not only just the science, but also what I would say the ministry of that, the community building of that. We had a very innovative idea in the finalists called My Catholic Doctor, who are seeking to do telemedicine from a truly Catholic perspective from conception to death. And so building a virtual hospital, making networks of doctors all across the country that are Catholic doctors that can serve different insurances, different kinds of needs, specialties. So, you know, as you said, Ellen, just really across the spectrum, we had a group of sisters, the Salesian Sisters out of San Antonio, Fiat Project. And, you know, many people say, okay, you know, all the professed religious are interested in, you know, recruiting vocations, which of course they are. But this was really a project that was dealing with vocations in general, you know, for those 20-something or 30-something women that are really wondering what their vocation in life may be, married life, single life, vocational life, business, what that might be. So, and I get excited about this, so I'm sorry I've been talking a mile a minute, but, mm-hmm. you know, these semifinalists and finalists were outstanding projects.
How did you narrow it down, Matt? I mean, I'm looking at just the 12 finalists going, yeah. How on earth would you get it down to just three?
Well, I will tell you, it was a lot of discernment and prayer, you know, and hoping that Holy Spirit would guide us. Through the early rounds, we had an outstanding team of judges, two of us from OSV internally, one of our winners from last year, and then another person that was very instrumental in helping us start the project in 2020. So we did the initial down to the 24, or actually down to the 12. And then the team that selected, the judges that selected the winners, were made up of board members from OSV. We brought in a media specialist from ODB Films, Eric Groth, and our CEO at OSV. So sort of a wide range of experts and specialties across both the church and industry, Catholic industry outside of the church. And so, yeah, it's very difficult, Todd and Ellen, extremely difficult. And, you know, you get to that point where you're like, gosh, can we give all 12 of these $100,000? But as I reminded the judges, we do have to make a decision. And so a lot of discussion and a lot of discernment. And all 24 of our semifinalists, all 12 of our finalists worked extremely hard. Mm.
Yeah. So now we're down to the three finalists. So which were the three that ended up rising to the top here?
So the three winners for 2021 were Catholic in Recovery, which is a ministry by Scott Wieman out of Southern California that serves individuals, families, and communities impacted by addiction. And they blend the wisdom of the 12-step recovery with the sacramental life of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And again, what we found is, you know, a number of these, Scott's was a great ministry example that were really on the verge, maybe they existed for a year or two, 3 years, but needed sort of acceleration in terms of scalability. And so that's what, you know, that $100,000 will do. And then Femme Catholic was our second winner, with Samantha Podlock, which is bringing feminism and Catholicism together, a campaign for the promotion of women through education, encouragement, and empowerment through, you know, the magisterium of the church, within the magisterium of the church. So really, you know, tapping into Catholic leadership for women, Catholic business, women's issues. It's a fascinating website to take a look at. And again, part of their needs were scalability and marketing. And then finally, we had Redbird Ministries out of Louisiana, Kelly and Ryan Bro, that they guide individuals and couples through the complexity and trauma that happens with the loss of a child from pregnancy through adulthood. And so, you know, what you can see, again, is these winners, you know, somewhat dealing with what I would call, you know, some of the periphery, ministering to some of the, you know, folks that may feel lost. And it was fascinating to go through, learn more about their ministry, the folks that they deal with. And again, you become very empathetic with all 24 organizations, who they're dealing with, and then the 12 finalists too. But our three winners really put together outstanding business plans, which is part of our accelerator that we worked with partnered with University of St. Thomas in Houston, and then also pitch decks that are also located on our osvchallenge.com finalist page.
Now, I also noticed that each one of them had these incredibly well-produced videos. Where did those come from, Matt?
With our 24 semifinalists, they went through a six-week accelerator that was both OSV and then University of St. Thomas in Houston. So during that accelerator, they got, you know, sort of a boot camp of business, nonprofit management, nonprofit development. We had four for-profit, so valuation, things like this. But two of the actionable items that we wanted out of that accelerator were, one, a pitch deck that then we worked with the 12 finalists to even refine more over the sort of interim period between announcing the finalists and the showcase, and then also a business plan. You know, one of the things that we found were that many of these people, many of the 24, were on fire and passionate with their ministries, but also needed the practical help and guidance to really think about all the areas that an organization would need. Plus, you know, to make sure that we kept grounded in the Catholic Church, we had a spiritual accompaniment with each of the 24. So there was weekly meetings around sort of focusing on mission, focusing on prayer, a life of the innovator, the entrepreneur, because it can become very lonely, and you can become very wrapped up in sort of worldly, you know, how do I raise enough money? How do I get enough money? Am I, you know, working enough, hustling to make this business happen, and forget really that mission and you know, the Lord's guidance as you develop your idea.
Okay, now hang on a second, Matt, mm-hmm. because I've got friends that work in nonprofits, and a lot of these people are grant writers, and there's a lot of places out there where they're trying to tap into some financial resources. I have never heard of anything this in-depth to try to help people like this. Whose brainchild was this? This is amazing.
Well, Todd and Ellen, we really owe the catalyst this to Jason Shanks, the Institute president. You know, about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, he and our COO, Joe Weichert, and some folks from Sherwood and Catholic Creatives really spent some time in a design sprint laying out what was the initial part of 2020. And then again, you know, we've started to refine and formulate and trying to make this better. You know, and really, you know, the whole purpose of it is, you know, people see the money, they see the accelerator, they see the spiritual development, and these are all great things. But at the core of this, and this is what's been so great, even with all 600 of our applicants, how many people want to, you know, innovate with the church and bring their skills to the church to bring people to Christ and to just better the world for the common good. But at the core is that let's answer John Paul II's call to the new evangelization.
I'm just clicking through some of your finalists here too, and I'm just amazed at the different angle and the different areas so many of these projects went in, from the Catholic doctors to how to plan a quince, which is the Hispanic and tying in the Hispanic,
yes,
Catholic. Embarking on that's when young Hispanic women turn 15. And it's a big celebration in the family life, and just bringing the faith into that too, which is can be a very crass and commercial thing many times. So it's just innovative and across the board in so many areas of life. Kudos to this. It's really a beautiful project that you've put together here and highlighted such good work.
No, well, I really appreciate that, Ellen. And again, you know, part of it is what's been really, I think, you know, faith-affirming but optimistic. You know, so much press and so many things around the world and in the country can be negative about the church and about the Catholic faith. And to interact with all these great entrepreneurs and these innovators and these people that are just on fire and that, you know, want to bring young people and they want to bring Hispanic and they want to serve older people. They want to serve people with Alzheimer's. I mean, it was, like I said, I mean, for me personally, it was a really positive experience just to work with them. I always hope that OSV can give more than we get, but we always leave that thinking just how great these projects are and these people are.
This is just hard to believe, Matt, mm-hmm. because, I mean, all of those finalists, I'm sure the ones, I wouldn't have been disappointed if I didn't become one of the three winners because of all the other resources that you're helping them with.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah.
you're right, many people that are involved in ministry, they don't necessarily have a lot of that training. And this sounds absolutely wonderful for anyone that would apply. So how would someone who's listening right now say, hey, I'd like to apply for a possible grant for 2022? How would they do that?
Well, go to osvchallenge.com. That's where all the information for 2022 will go. As I said, we just spent 2.5 days doing our planning. osvchallenge.com. You'll start seeing information in December and January. There'll be an early February application date, but all the details will be up there by early January. So osvchallenge.com. And again, I really recommend that folks look at some of the semifinalists and finalists from last year, getting some, you know, ideas and tips. And, you know, what we all know, I think, Todd and Ellen, is the Catholic world is sometimes a small Catholic world. So they may know some of these people, and I know all of our challenges have always been great in sharing their knowledge. What we're also trying to build in there is a community. There is a little bit of a competition in there, mm-hmm. but it's building that community and it's helping each other. You know, all 12 and actually all 24 of those semifinalists developed a great bond, supporting each other where they could, different ministries, leveraging their resources together. Again, just a wonderful experience. But we really, you know, we got 600 last year. We'd love to get 1,000 this year.
Wow. I think you could shoot for that. Matt Smith, thanks for joining us today. And we encourage everyone, it's osvchallenge.com. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks. Have a great morning. Have a blessed day.
Thanks. Final segment Friday coming up. Todd,
Sunday. 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Sunday Gospel Reflection. Father Andrew Jones is joining us, so stay with us here. LA Catholic Morning continues.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay.
First class relic of
the helmet has been pushed to the back. Todd finally noticed that it lost its position.
I was wondering why it was over there.
It needs to earn its way back to the front.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I mean, Florida's still up here, but they did lose, so the Alabama helmet's on top of the Florida helmet.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning.
I know.
On our radio.
Got to set that up before we get to Sunday.
Todd
that's
Sylvester,
Saturday.
I'm a non-football guy in the studio.
I know.
On the line, we have Father Andrew Jones, who is the pastor of the City of St. Jude Parish in Montgomery. Good morning, Father.
Morning, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Always good to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
27th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
That's right. Yeah, we're just pushing through this thing.
And we're right smack dab in the middle of Mark's Gospel.
Yeah, you know, and I like Mark's Gospel, even though it's, you know, it's very brief and to the point, but, you know, sometimes there's a place for that.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It's punchy. It's punchy.
It packs a lot in.
Indeed.
That's right.
You ready to dive in, Father?
Yeah, let me just make sure I have the right one here.
Ha!
You get sometimes with A, B, and C, you know, that three-year cycle.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. I'm with you. It was great.
All right. Here we go. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her. But Jesus told them, 'Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment.' But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What we have here, I did the long version of the Gospel of Mark. The short version, omit the entire marriage piece, and then you would just have the part about the children there at the end. So you may hear that shorter version in whatever parish you go to, but I think that that would be, I mean, without passing judgment on a brother priest, I think that would be a little strange to do, because the first reading is all about marriage. Jesus is quoting Genesis in his remarks about marriage, and Genesis is the first reading. So it'd be sort of weird to clip that out, but, you know, priests do what they want to do. So who knows what you're going to get this Sunday. But in the longer version, we have this tie into the marriage piece that we hear in the first reading about from Genesis. And I think it just bears mentioning that this is a beautiful opportunity to speak about the Christian vocation to marriage, but also Christian marriage as distinct from natural marriage, we might say, just marriage without, you know, Christian religious context. And I think sometimes that we can run the risk of confusing the two. In fact, this happens a lot when you talk to maybe RCIA classes, or you talk to religious ed classes, or just, you know, common Catholics in the pews about marriage. A lot of the times the way that we think about it is the way that we think about it in society in general, which usually ends up being something like boy meets girl, girl meets boy, see from across the room, you know, birds sing. The light falls in just such a way, you know, and they decide that they like each other enough that, you know, they give it a try, and then eventually they get married, and that's how it works. It's two people who really like each other a lot, and they get married, and then, you know, the state of Alabama or whoever it is says, okay, you get tax breaks now, and that's how marriage works, right? But this is not, clearly, this is not, if we read and listen to the gospel in the first reading this weekend, this is far in a way different than the Christian conception of marriage. It's part of it. I mean, liking the other person is you know, is pretty good. It helps. But it's not the entire thing. And so what can we say? First, what we say about is what we learn is this. What we'll hear in the first reading is that God has created man, and he's created all the beasts of the earth, and he brings them all to Adam for him to name. And he does. He names all the beasts that come to him, which expresses what? It expresses a certain dominion over the animals that come to him. But then we hear this interesting line, it is not good that the man should be alone. And so what we see from the Christian conception of marriage, first off, is that this is not about individuals. This is about a community of people. So this is very, very, very different. What we think about in the United States usually is that you start out as individuals. I have my own rights, and then you have your rights. And as long as they don't interfere with each other, you know, maybe we can come together and we can make some sort of agreement. And that's how governments are formed. This is not the Christian concept of how human beings work. It is not good for the man to be alone, is the first thing the Bible says about humanity. So community is necessary, right? And it's not going to come from the cows. You know, the cows are great, but they don't do it for you.
Right.
So they bring, God, you know, puts Adam in a deep sleep and takes a rib and makes a woman. And then, you know, this is interesting. Adam says, this is different. This is a co-equal. This is somebody that I can converse with. This is someone that I can pour my life into. I can share my heart with this person. And this, blessed by God, informs the Christian concept of marriage, the Judeo-Christian vision. Because here's the difference. Yes, we have an intimacy. In fact, marriage is the deepest form of friendship that there is. And that's built into us as human beings, as we hear in the book of Genesis. But there's this third part that we would be remiss to overlook, which is what God has joined together. And so for the Christian concept of marriage, it's not just that two people end up liking each other and they have a lot in common. It's that God has put them together to the point where they are not really two people anymore. They're one flesh. And when the Bible uses the word flesh, it's not talking about, you know, the meat that surrounds your bones. Mm-hmm. It means your entire self, like the whole being of the person, the whole essence of the person. The two become one thing, one whole thing. And this is very, very different from other conceptions of marriage that float around out there. So the Christian concept of marriage, it takes natural marriage and it elevates it to what we call a sacrament, which is a mystery where God is involved and then grace flows into that. In fact, St. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that marriage really is about a foreshadowing of the marriage of God and man, ultimately seen at its highest peak in our relationship with Jesus Christ as his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And so when we see Christian marriages, it's not just that we're looking at two people who love each other and isn't that so nice. It's we look at two people who have been joined together in such an intimate connection that it makes us see not only a vision of the church, but ultimately we see a vision of the love of God for us, because all throughout the Old Testament, God has constantly been talking about his people and he in a marriage relationship. The Bible begins and ends in marriage. In the Genesis, the first thing that happens to Adam is he gets married to Eve. In Revelation, the last thing that happens in the history of humanity is the church is married off in a great wedding ceremony to Jesus. This is the preferred image that God uses for his relationship with us. And so we see also that Christian marriage has a missionary character, which is when you get married in a Catholic church, and this is the reason it has to be in a public sacred space, because this is not just about you two people. This is about all of us.
Amen.
We want marriages to succeed, because when we see a good, healthy Catholic Christian marriage, it shows us the love of God, and it shows us our ultimate destiny, which is union and intimacy with God in the heavenly kingdom. And of course, this little piece at the end, we can't overlook that either. What comes out of that? Children, fruitfulness. And all of this together gives us the Christian theological view of marriage, which is far and away above, even though it includes two people who happen to like each other and move in together. But it's so much more than that.
Beautiful.
It just kind of sets the stage and separates that this is we have such a different view of what the world says your marriage should be. And Father, I just love how you just kind of went to the depths and the richness and down to the heart and soul of what we were made for, not superficial things. Oh, we like to go to football games together, stuff like that. It's so much more. Father Andrew Jones, could you give us a blessing before leaving?
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Andrew Jones, pastor of the city of St. Jude Parish in Montgomery, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
God bless you guys. You too.
Thanks, Father. Appreciate it. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Cromwell & Associates. Want to learn more about estate planning this month? Eric Cromwell will be hosting a seminar on Thursday, October 21st at 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 23rd at 10 a.m. Visit cromwell.associates to make reservations and learn more. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, Rob Kazmark talks about Spirit Juice Studios. Carl Truman discusses an article he co-wrote in the Public Discourse, Are Women Still Human?
Last time I checked, I am. We're going to have to wait till Monday to find out then.
Yes, you may be surprised, right? No, John, and finally, we'll talk with former Open Line Monday host, John Martinoni, about his book, Blue Collar Apologetics. Learn all about apologetics on Monday.
Oh, I can't wait to hear John talk to John.
Y'all have a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.